Hey guys, welcome to Call Ups. I'm your host, Matt. I've got another special guest for you all today. I'm joined by Sir Dominic Poynter, who was with the Canterbury in charge of the G League last season before signing a 10-day contract with the Cleveland Cavaliers shortly before the season suspension hit. How are you doing? Thank you for joining me.
No problem. Thanks for having me, man. Just out here living the COVID life, man.
Yeah, definitely. And that's the first question I've got for you. So first of all, how have you been keeping these past few months in quarantine? I hope you and the family have been keeping safe.
Yeah, man. Me and my fam just been out the way, man. You know, doing mostly in-house workouts, you know. And then, you know, getting in the gym when I can. You know, for a minute, it was tough to get in there. But now it's a little easier. But I'm trying to stay away, you know, just because it's still getting, like, the numbers are starting to pick back up. So I've just been staying out the way again. So got to figure that medium where I can work out and, you know, do both.
Yeah, definitely. It's quite a crazy time that we're living in at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I do have to say congratulations on your selection for the G League All-Defensive Team. How did that feel? It's a pretty big accomplishment.
Thank you, man. Yeah, it's a pretty big accomplishment, man. You know, shout out to the winner. You know, I feel, you know, I did history, man, you know, in a short season. So it's a good accomplishment for me. You know, I pride myself on being a defender. And, you know, that's what I go out and do. So being to make first team, it was good with me.
Yeah, definitely. And this past season, you were averaging G League career highs in pretty much across the board with 11.9 points, 5.5 rebounds, 1.9 assists, 1.9 steals and 2 blocks. And then there was obviously your huge impact on the defensive end, like you just mentioned. How was the season for you? Do you feel like your game reached new heights?
Yes. Just the fact of being a little older and just knowing the system and just being more mature and knowing how to play basketball, where I know where I can shoot the ball every time, but like, that's not what I'm going to do in the NBA. So I go out and try to play defense and, you know, and play hard and show NBA teams what I can do to help a team out and not just be the star on the G League team, help a team.
Okay, and then obviously you've got the 10-day call-up to the Cleveland Cavaliers who drafted you back in 2015. How was it to get recognized in that fashion and then obviously the NBA suspension hit? I imagine it was probably quite an up-and-down time for you.
Yeah, you know, it was bittersweet, you know. I've worked hard to get it, you know, between playing overseas and coming back and trying it again. So to finally get the call up this year, it was great. But it was ended short, you know, due to Corona, like 4 or 5 days in, I think. And then, you know, I was happy, you know, that I got the chance to even get called up.
Yeah, definitely. And if possible, I'd like to rewind to your college days at St. John's University in New York.
That's cool.
And you were there for 4 years and you really blossomed in that final season, averaging 13.7 points, 7.7 rebounds, 3 assists, 1.9 steals and 2.4 blocks on 52.4% shooting. And you were named the Big East second team, as well as being named Big East Co-Defensive Player of the Year and Most Improved Player. It was a special year for you and obviously the team too, as St. John's reached the NCAA tournament for only the second time in 13 years. How do you look back on your St. John's days, specifically that final season?
It was a great learning curve, you know, my first 3 years, you know, getting adjusted and getting falling in love with the game again. You know, that last season I really buckled down and fell in love with basketball again. It took, you know, sometimes as basketball players we take granted basketball, and I realized, you know, I wasn't in love with the game, and then I had to sit down and really take that summer going into my senior year to just like fall in love with the game, and I did it, and you got the results, you know. We made the tournament. We would have went further in the tournament, you know. We had some suspensions and all that, but it happened, and I think but that overall season was a good season for everybody on the team, mentally and physically. It was a great season.
Yeah, definitely. And for people that don't know, obviously we were speaking about it just off air, but I went to St. John's as well. And I was there
I was
there for that final season. I was studying abroad from the UK. And so I managed to witness what was a very special season. And that team had some very talented players. You know, there was yourself, there was D'Angelo Harrison, Phil Green, Rashid Jordan, Chris Obekpa, to name a few. Do you still keep in contact with some of the team? Obviously, you've all gone off in your separate directions since.
Oh, yeah. We, you know, we talk here and there, you know. You know, we all going our separate ways. But, you know, mostly I talk to everybody. Who you just mentioned. Between now and then, I say what up to them, check on, see how they're doing. You know, some more than others, but it's just the way it is. You know, we got different bonds with different people, but I love all of them to death. They can call me for anything. And, you know, we keep in touch when we can.
Yeah, definitely. And provided a lot of jumping out of our seats moments, me and shout out to Erwin as well. So, you know, thanks for the memories. It was a great year at a great university and for me. And have you been back to St. John's since?
Yes, I have. I've been back about two or three times. Mostly in my first 2 years out. And then after that, I kind of got a lot busy and they started, you know, just watching them, you know, on TV.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you think about them since? I've been keeping close eye on it since. And obviously Chris Mulling was the coach after Steve Lavin when that was your final season. And then they've moved on since. What have you thought about them? Do you think they can get back on the right track? I mean.
They got to find the recruits, you know. It's the Mecca, you know what I'm saying? It's New York. Mm-hmm. It's the center. Like, if you can market that right, you can get the right players. You know, I think they got a good coach in there now. Last year, I think he just took over for Mullen, right?
Yeah. And
he played a little faster, but I think they'd be all right. Just got to find the recruits.
Yeah, definitely. And obviously, upon leaving college, you entered the 2015 NBA draft and was selected with the 53rd pick by the Cleveland Cavaliers. I bet that was a surreal experience for you. Could you speak a bit about that day and how it unfolded? Was it expected?
It wasn't expected. But I had for like 23 workouts. I had a crazy amount of workouts for that time. But I worked out for over half the NBA, you know. So I was just expecting at least, you know, to get called to my training camp. But I was in Atlanta still training. In the draft, I was, my family came down and we just went bowling. And, you know, right when they called my name, it was like 12 o'clock, you know, East Coast time. And, but they called my name and the TV shut off. It was crazy. And it was one of the things where, like, all right, you see a name going across the board, 30 seconds, all of it. They had their TV on automatically cut off. They cut off. We left all celebrated. Had a good time that night. You know, it was a good experience. My family was there. It was good. I didn't expect it, but it happened. So it was very appreciative of the Cavs and what they've done for me these couple of years.
Yeah. And do you not know prior to being selected in the draft then? Did you not get a phone call? Did you not get a hint? Or did you just find out when your name appeared on the board?
Oh, no. I knew 2 seconds before it popped up.
Okay.
You know, so my agent called me and was like, they're going to draft you. I said, okay. And, you know, the name popped up. The family was yelled and then it was over with. But I wasn't expecting a phone call, though, honestly. Mm. But it happened and I'm grateful for it.
Yeah, definitely. And you represented the Cavs in the 2015 Summer League and you represented them in quite a few Summer Leagues. But obviously LeBron James was with Cleveland then and he attended some games in that 2015 Summer League. How was it getting that first piece of exposure to the NBA and being close to superstar talent?
It was good. It was a different experience, you know, faster pace. The game style, the 24 seconds, just adjusting to all the stuff in the summer on the fly. It's tough, but it was a great experience. I love the summer league. I think they it's a good experience for younger guys to get to play against a couple older guys and, you know, and figure out that little niche before the season start. you know, just a little pre-trial before the season start and, you know, get your season going.
Yeah. And you played for the Cavs affiliate, the Canton Charge, in the 2015-16 season. Can you remember much from that season? How was it having to drop down to the net, to the then, sorry, how was it trying to, how was it having to drop down to the then D League to prove your worth?
You know, it was okay. You know, I was expected. I already knew it was going to happen. So I was just going to go out there and try to play my hardest and, you know, and take the experience and learn. You know, the G League is a tough league. So it's not no cakewalk. And first year players, it's tough, you know, to adjust. And everybody's hungry down there. And you have to find a way to fit in and stand out at the same time. So that's the biggest adjustment with the G League. You have to find a way to fit in and stand out at the same time. So it's finding that balance.
Yeah, definitely. And then the following 2 years, you spent some time in Israel, Lebanon, and Hungary. What was behind your decision to take your talents overseas? Because you did go back to the States to represent Cleveland's Summer League team in amongst that time, didn't you?
Yes, I did. Second Summer League, I got hurt. And I knew I wasn't gonna get no looks from an eBay team. So it was like, you know what, make some money, get comfortable, and try it again. So that's what I did. That was my mindset, you know, just get comfortable, make a couple dollars and, you know, give it another shot when you feel like the time is right. And Israel, it helped me out so much. It made me a better offensive player. You know, I was already a good defensive player. It just made me better offensively, got me more experience, more confident, and ready to play.
Yeah, and in terms of what was it like being in Israel, Lebanon, and Hungary? Did you manage to immerse yourself in the culture of each country much whilst you were there, or was it a case of sticking to business, playing basketball, going back to your apartment and repeat?
Israel was probably my biggest, where I tried to join the culture. Okay. It was my first year out. I wanted to see. I tried Israel, everything, you know, try to learn the language a little bit, try to do a little everything in Israel. The other countries, I tried to learn the language because I tried not to be in countries where I don't know anything. So I always try to go learn a couple words or something while I'm there, just to get by. I always go to like local places in each place just so I don't get stuck in the house. I get a real, cabin fever.
Yeah.
Keep doing the same thing over and over again. So I try to find, you know, a local place where I can just go talk to the people who speak English and, you know, try to just learn something. Because in each country, it's hard to sit in the house all day. You know, no matter what part of the country you're in, whether they speak English or not, it's hard just to sit in the house by yourself all day. Or just seeing your teammates. I can't do that all day. I need to see, experience the country. That's what I'm there for. I'm not from there, so why not learn something?
Yeah, definitely. I think the locals appreciate it more when you actually attempt to speak the language as well. I mean, I'm currently in France at the moment, and I'm British. I don't speak French amazingly, but, you know, it's just so you can go and get something from the shop, and it makes it a better experience.
Make it a little even, you know, you can hear a little stuff. You see, you feel yourself catching on the words. And I was in Israel, I was actually good. Like, I couldn't speak it, but I can understand it to where it was like, I can piece sentences together with what other people are saying.
Like word by word, and then you can piece it together.
Yeah. And, you know, you use a little process of elimination and kind of figure out what they're saying.
Yeah, exactly. I'm the same here. And then in 2018, you're back stateside, and you were signed and waived by the Cleveland Cavaliers, but this time you decided to stay and play for the Canton Charge again in the now rebranded G League. Why did you opt to give the G League another go then and not go back overseas?
You know, I feel I was comfortable. I just wanted to give the NBA another shot, you know, and I didn't want to give up on my dream yet. You know, my dream is to play in the NBA. You know, so I just feel like it was I still had time to give it a couple more shots. And that's what I've done. And it paid off, you know, the next year. But, you know, of course, COVID happened. So that was my decision to stay in the States instead of going overseas. But I think it was a good decision. You know, it turned out, it worked out.
Yeah, definitely. And then that brings us up to the 2018-19 season when you decided to stay in the G League. Mm-hmm. You averaged 9.7 points, 4.7 rebounds, 2.1 assists, 1.9 steals and 1.3 blocks. Then that brings us up to this past 2019-20 campaign. And obviously, I've mentioned some of your numbers and throughout the conversation I have done. And it suggests that you're an extremely well-rounded player. Obviously, I know the type of player that you are, seeing you from your college days. But what can you describe yourself as a player for the listeners? How do you see yourself?
You know, just a great defender. You know, I say what they call now a 3-and-D guy. Mm-hmm, you know, I've worked on my shot. Worked on my confidence, and, you know, back in college, you know, I was just all mid-range. Mm-hmm. You know, the NBA is kind of, you know, stepping between three and layup now, so it's an adjustment for a player like me. But I'm adjusting. I'm doing well. I'm just trying to show teams what I can do. You know, I can be that 3-and-D guy that they need, you know, check the best guy on the other team. You know, and help the superstars out on the team, just, you know, creating space.
Yeah, and, you know, you really do bring it on both sides of the ball with high intensity, and rebounding and defense are two strong facets of your game, and they do fall on, you know, what some say is the less glamorous side of basketball. Yeah. Is rebounding and defense important to you?
Yeah, it's very important. You know, I go back to my college days, that's what I did. You know, I finished top five in both steals and blocks in St. John's history. So, you know, that's what I do. In the G League, like I just broke the record. I'm the only person in G League history to do 80 blocks, 80 steals in a season. Mm-hmm. And we still had the playoffs in, what was it, like 9 games left?
I think so, yeah.
So it was something crazy like that, where it was like, you know that I can do it, you know. I pride myself on, you know, not even getting a steal, just bringing that presence defensively. If it's like, you know, just a good contest, making a shot hard, getting great pressure. And that's my style, you know, just doing exciting things to rattle my team up. And that's what I like to do. Just, I'd rather block a shot than dunk a ball, you know. Like, my block shots gets the whole team rattle together, you know, to rally together. And that, and steals and making plays defensively is what I do. And that's what I like. That's my style of play.
Yeah. And some people that I've spoken to in the G League circles and the NBA circles as well have always mentioned that staying true to your game is important. That if you're averaging, what, 35 points per night in the G League, you're probably not going to get them looks in the NBA. And I feel that your game would translate over to the NBA pretty well.
Yeah, I do too. Like I said, it's easy to incorporate me on any team, because, like I said, I'm one of them guys who not going to try to get 30. You know, I'm gonna take the open shots. I'm going to play great defense, and I'm gonna do anything to help the team win.
Yeah, definitely. And in terms of how that skill set molded together, were there any particular players that you looked up to growing up, or maybe you still do look up to some players?
As far as growing up, the players I looked up to played nothing like me. You know, like, that's the weird thing. So, like, my favorite player was Joe Johnson growing up, and Jason Richardson, who they have no, like, besides maybe Richardson athletic ability, besides that, my favorite player is LeBron. Like, we don't play the same.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
So, but I do like I love Tony Allen, because, you know, he's a hard, grit guy. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Got a long stint in the league. So if I would like say Tony Allen was one of my people I watched just defensively and learned how he played, and the little things that people don't see that I think he did, like passing lanes, you know, making a guy go to his weak hand. Just little stuff that people don't notice during the game that I see defensively and I just pay attention to and I try to take after and, you know, keep it moving.
Yeah, definitely. And you've made 134 appearances in the G League over the past 5 years, with your first season being in 2015-16. Have you seen the league grow more reputable in that time? Is it more established?
Yes, it is, especially when I played in the D League. So from the D League to the G League, it was a it's getting more respect. Mm-hmm. You know, people are starting to pay attention to it more and realizing that players can easily go overseas, but they're trying to chase their dreams and they stand over here to play. And the G League is not easy. The G League not, you know, just – you can't just get in the G League like people think you can. It's not that – it's not easy. And people are starting to pay attention to it. So yeah. I respect that. And then and I like that because, you know, it's actually give people a shot and something to play for.
Yeah, and I think I was listening to a podcast the other day. I can't remember exactly what it was. And they were saying that there's more NBA players than there is NBA slots on rosters. So I think a lot of people kind of belittle the G League a little bit, but they don't realize that it is full of NBA-ready players.
Yeah, a lot of players. Like I said, more and more people are getting called up. Like each year, it gets more and more call-ups. It's getting more people looks. You know, the first couple of years, it was the same people getting the call-ups, you know. Mm. And now it's the, like everyone is getting one because it's more open. The player, you can tell, like, players are getting ready. And that's what they're chasing their dreams and they're ready to play in the NBA.
Yeah, and with the G League, do you feel that it's developed your game further? Do you feel like you benefited from being in the league?
Yes, you know, from younger players, older players, you know, just watching the confidence of these players and just taking after a few things from everybody. Like I said, I'm never too old to learn, never too young not to listen to, you know, no either way. So it's one of the things where you just got to go and embrace the G League and, you know, turn out and play the right way and you'll be fine.
Yeah, definitely. And is it sometimes difficult when you do have NBA aspirations then, or do you have to, you know, when you have time in the G League or overseas, you know, when you're waiting for your opportunity is what I'm trying to say. So you have NBA aspirations, but you have to go for the G League, you have to go overseas. Can that be a bit frustrating, or is it a case of staying patient and trusting the process?
No, it definitely could be frustrating because, you know, between the pay and just not, maybe you're not in the right situation. Sometimes it'd be because you, other people on the team trying to get theirs, you know, and so sometimes it's fit. So, but it get real frustrating sometimes where, you know, like you're a scorer and you got four other people, you know, shooting the ball, or like between the two waves and the signees. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they come down 10 games, you know, and they start right away. You lose your starting spot right away. So it can get real frustrating. And overseas, you're so far away, you don't even know if teams are watching sometimes, you know. They're more and more starting to send scouts over there. But, like, you might not know, you know. And then, like I said, with the G League, it's one of them things where you can play one game, not play the next game. Two-way come down, two-way go up. The minutes fluctuate a lot, so just stand down, stand patient, and being ready to play, and showing that you, like I said, in the NBA, sometimes you might not play, but you got to be ready. So that's what the Julia is really getting ready for. Stay ready. You got to be ready at all times. Cause I've done it. They bought people down, and I've not played. I've played 5 minutes, you know. So it's one of the things where it's like, you just got to be ready. I've went from DNPs to the beginning of the season to the middle of the season starting.
Wow.
You know, so you just got to find your niche and stick with it. Because I think it was last season, the first, like, 10 games, I played a total of, like, 30 minutes in 10 games. Wow. Maybe that. So, yeah. So it's one of the things where you just got to stay down and grind. And then that later in that season, same exact team. I'm starting, you know, contributing, and moving on. So it's one of the things where you just got to stay down and grind. And it's a hard grind, but if you do it, you know, it pays off.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, we're nearing the end now, and it's probably too early to say, but what's the plan moving forward for you? Is it to keep knocking on that NBA door? Do Cleveland hold your player rights because they drafted you, or is that not the case?
But no, they don't have my rights anymore. They, like last year when they waived me, that's when I became a free agent. But with concerns of, you know, me playing in the NBA overseas, back in the G, I don't know yet. COVID has really put a hindrance on everything, and I just have to figure out the best move for me, you know, me and my family. You know, it may be going back to the G, it may be, you know, hopefully a team calls, you know, so I don't know, but we'll figure it out. And I'm sure all you gotta do is put it in God's hand and it'd be fine.
Yeah, definitely. And there have been reports, I think it was maybe even yesterday at the time of recording, of a second NBA bubble in Chicago in which the Cavs could be part of. Would you welcome that opportunity if that came to you?
Yes, you know, anytime you can get exposure, you know, and that's probably one of the perfect times to do it, because I'm sure they're looking for guys, you know, where they know, like, some guys not going to play in that bubble, you know, because they're not going to want to risk injury and stuff. So that's a perfect time to go show your talent in that little season. Or, you know, just going there and getting experience and working with the team and being around the team, sometimes that helps. So it can help if I would be down for that too. It's all about situational, you know what I'm saying? So if this right situation comes up, I'll take it, you know, and I'm not rushing into nothing. I'm just taking my time at this point.
Yeah, definitely. And that's everything I've got for you. I really appreciate you taking the time to chat. Thank you. And it has been great talking with you.
No problem. Thank you. Anytime, man.
Yeah. And before you go, are there any social media channels you want to shout out? Is there anything you want to plug?
You know, you can follow me on Instagram at SirDon15, on Twitter at SirDon1. No, that's it. Appreciate it. Got a clothesline coming out soon. Besides that, just waiting.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, thanks again. I really appreciate it. Good luck for your future endeavors. I'm very confident you'll fall on your feet and stay safe.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Have a good day, man.
Thanks. So there we have it. That's my interview with Sir Dominic Poynter, who was most recently with the Cleveland Cavaliers, but has come off a fantastic season with the Canton Charge in the G League. I hope you enjoyed listening to it just as much as I enjoyed speaking to him. Thank you so much for checking out this interview. Please be sure to check out our website, nbacallups.com. Follow and like our socials over on Twitter and Facebook under NBA Callups, and check out our YouTube channel too. I'll catch you next time.